Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm John Milford, chair of the club's Grown-Ups Forum, and your host for today. We also welcome our listening audience, and we invite everyone to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. And now, it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Francine Brevetti. Francine Brevetti has been listening, documenting, and writing the stories of people's lives, journeys, businesses, and accomplishments for 30 years. Her work has been called eloquent, insightful, thoughtful, and remarkable in its clarity, depth, and understanding. As a chronicler of lives, communities, businesses, and souls, her ability to translate depth, meaning, and complexity by virtue of her interest, curiosity, and skills is unsurpassed. Francine started her journalism career in 1977 with the Journal of Commerce in New York. A business journalist, she went beyond the numbers and the dollar signs of regular business journalism to probe into the minds, motivations, and uniqueness of the executive of consumer to whom she was interviewed. After 7 years of covering the financial industries and foreign trade, she found herself wrapped by the commercial ties being forged between the East and the West. She moved to Hong Kong in 1985 to freelance for local and foreign publications. Francine resolved to stay in Hong Kong to observe the transition to sovereignty of that territory from the People's Republic of China from the United Kingdom in July 1st, 1997. After that momentous event, she returned to San Francisco, where she was born. That's remarkable, Francine. She began working at the Oakland Tribune in 1998 as a business reporter, initially covering technology and then banking and personal finance in the East Bay. In her 10 years at the Oakland Tribune, her beat shifted several times, and she was happy to shine a light on Oakland's many entrepreneurs, especially those in technology. Her final assignment before departure in 2008 was to cover the Port of Oakland. She produced several exhaustive profiles of the various skilled workmen and professionals at the port, besides examining the many political and economic shifts the port experienced at that time. Francine Brevetti's book, published in 2004, The Fabulous Fior, Over 100 Years in an Italian Kitchen, While a History of a Restaurant, is also a memoir of a community. It interweaves the reflections and family histories of San Francisco's Italian North Beach. So join me, please, in welcoming Francine Brevetti.
Thank you very much, John. I was joking with John that I was wondering who would come today. I thought only morticians will show up. So I'm honored to speak to you on this difficult subject, and I'm a little scared, too, because I know it's a subject that is deeply emotional. It means facing a loss. But we're going to have fun. I read the obituaries every day in the Chronicle and in the New York Times. So why do I do this? Why do you think? Because I want to keep up to date on who I know is deceased. Also because I love stories, and I love reading people's stories. And there's another reason. It's a little bit of Schadenfreude. I'm glad to see people younger than me passing away, and I'm still here. Not for long, anyway. Anyway, I want to read you... I'm going to talk about, thank you, I'm going to talk about how to write our own obituary, how to write somebody else's obituary, and how to publish it. Okay? First, I want to tell you about Walter Bruhl. He was 80 years old when he passed away in 2014. Everybody hear me? Yeah. But before he left, he made sure he was going to have a last laugh. He wrote his own obituary, complete with fill-in-the-blank spaces for the time, date, and location of his death, as well as a few jokes. He wrote, "There will be no viewing, since his wife refuses to honor his request to have him standing in the corner of the room with a glass of Jack Daniels in his hands so he would appear natural to visitors." I want to read you a couple of recent obituaries in the Chronicle that I found remarkable, not just to entertain you, but to give you an idea of the freedom you have to write what you want, right? So on Friday, April 16th, a notice of the death of Sajida al-Bahrani reads, quote, "Fell asleep April 10. I just love that, fell asleep. "Yesterday morning, Mom, on my way to the coffee shop, a mourning dove," notice the spelling of mourning dove, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, "stopped me at 3rd and Cabrillo. I replied back to the dove, and all of a sudden, a vibrating message came on my mobile phone. 'I guess that was your last breath at 8:06 a.m., San Francisco local time. It took you 2 seconds to move from Amman, Jordan, to San Francisco. Fascinating indeed. I guess you have different ways of traveling up there.'" So I found that very moving. She's writing to the deceased person. Here's another. Stephen Charles Carnelia died May 5th. Notice that date. He died May 5th. "He was a deeply honorable and loving man. When his wife, Phoebe, asked him to promise to outlive her, he quickly agreed. And so after watching her decline from Alzheimer's disease for over 10 years, he died in his sleep just 4 days after her death. He kept a promise and made it a love story through almost 69 years of marriage. On the same page in the column right next to him is the obituary of Phoebe Carnelia, who passed away on May 1st. So not all obituaries are as moving as that, but I hold them up to you as models for the kind of freedom you have to write what you want. After all, you're paying for it. You may have fears about confronting this task of writing other people's obituaries as well as your own. Perhaps you're wondering if you're doing justice to the deceased person you are describing. You may wonder, what if I miss some important things that the deceased would have wanted known about him or her? Well, but you're here, so I know you're going to face it. So, first of all, I strongly suggest, whether you're writing your own or somebody else's, to arm yourself with good wine and a lot of chocolate. What is an obituary? It's an announcement of an individual's death that usually includes the description of their life and a list of family members. So we're going to talk about two scenarios, your own obituary first. If you're writing your own obituary, you're writing a kind of mini autobiography. If you haven't already written your autobiography or a memoir, now's the chance to say what you want to say. Your take on your life, the things that animated you, the things that were turning points in your life. You know, add some color to your story. the games you like to play, the patents you acquired, your grandmother's recipe for sauce, some one-liners. Don't let those jokes go die with you. And your favorite websites. What the heck? You know? And feel free to brag, because you're doing your family a favor. When you pass away, they're going to have to want to write an obituary, but you've already done it for them at a time when they're in stress and have many things to take care of, right? So enjoy this little claim to fame. Also, ask yourself, to whom will I entrust this document? Who is going to outlive me, and who can I trust to publish it for me? Will you give them the money to publish it, or have you made other arrangements? Okay? Now, what about you're writing somebody else's obituary? You're going to be under stress, right? You're going to want that wine and that chocolate, but you're also going to want your family's input and support, right? So there are no rules about writing an obituary, but there are conventions. The first one is to get the name of the decedent absolutely correct with all his or her initials, and don't forget nicknames and the woman's maiden name, okay? The second convention is the date of their birth and their death. Some people just put the year. I like to see the whole day and month written out. The next one is where they died and who their parents were. Now, children of immigrants really like to note the hometown of their parents, if that's important to you. As an Italian-American, I always look at Italian-American obituaries, and they say, born to Emilia and Giulia in Lucca, Italy, da-da-da-da. So that's an idea. The fourth convention is the most sensitive, and that's where you list all the survivors. So you can either restrict this list to just the immediate family, but if you go on beyond the immediate family, make sure everybody's there. Children, siblings, grandchildren, stepchildren, half-siblings, have whatever. If you have marriage and remarriage and divorce in your family, it becomes a really long list. Please make sure everybody in your family is agreeable to your list. Please make sure you spell everybody's name correctly. Okay? Now, what about mentioning the cause of death? You don't have to. You may not want to. It's perfectly all right. Me, I'm kind of nosy, and I always like to know how somebody died. Now, if you use the expression, died unexpectedly, understand that this is frequently used as a euphemism for suicide. It doesn't have to be, but if your loved one died unexpectedly, but not by her own hand, you may want to use a different word, you know, like died in a tragic work accident, or scuba diving in the Bahamas, or something like that. It's Not everybody is savvy about that use of the word died unexpectedly, but some people are. Okay, so let me read you an interesting obituary on the subject. Spencer McCrae Baker died unexpectedly at home on March 31st. He was 26 years old. The obit goes on to talk about his very productive and apparently happy life. Down towards the bottom of the notice, it says, Spencer's life was cut way too short. Be at peace. Your painful struggle is over. So you could see that could be read either as an illness or as a suicide. You, if it is a suicide, you may want to repress that information. But let me tell you, think about it a different way. Suppose Uncle Albert really did die by his own hand. It would be very consoling to other people who are having suicidal thoughts to read that in the newspaper. They wouldn't feel so alone. And you might even want to mention a donation to the local suicide prevention center. Whom do you want to acknowledge in the obituary as having supported your loved one? Close family, of course. Caregivers, doctors, nurses, maybe clergy or hospice workers. Also, if the person is the belongs to a fraternal organization, you may want to mention that. Okay. Now, once you've written it, and everybody in the family is okay with it. Oh, before I get to that, let me tell you. Every obituary should publish the time, date, and place of any services, whether it's a rosary or a funeral service, graveside service, shiva, whatever. And if there's going to be a memorial in the future, do tell people how to find that information. Some obituaries suggest a donation. But understand that no newspaper will publish a donation requested by an individual. If it's a donation to an organization, a nonprofit, that's perfectly fine. Or if it's to a trust that was set up with a financial institution, that's okay too. So, how do you want to publish your obituary? Understand that obituaries are just like advertisements for newspapers. They're income producing. And the price of them has gone up dramatically. When I put my mom's obituary in the newspaper 5 years ago, it was about 5 or 6 inches and it had her photo in it. And it cost about $350. Today it would cost multiples of that. The Chronicle charges $7.41 per line and $1.75 extra for a photo. So I asked the Chronicle what was the average cost. $900 for an average. Now, this is not an obituary that goes on for two or three columns, as some do. That would be many, many times that. So you want to be very considered about the length of your obituary and who's going to see it where. Now, there are certainly other papers in the Bay Area. Every paper in the Bay Area, except the Chronicle, belongs to the Bay Area News Group. And you can find their website at BayAreaObits.com. If you want to go to the Chronicle, sfchronicle.com, and look for the link to obituaries. And once you get on that link, they will take you to another page. You'll have to drill down a couple of pages to find the link to where you can email them your obituary text. The newspaper will not edit your obituary. You have to make sure it's correct, right? Both newspapers and most newspapers have plenty of information on them to guide you in writing an obituary, and they have templates also. If you just put in your search engine how to write an obituary, you come up with dozens and dozens. So one is obituaryhelp.net and obituaryguide.com. Now, there's another wrinkle in this story, and that is the intervention of mortuaries and cemeteries, right? Mortuaries and cemeteries will not charge you to put your obituary on their site if you're using their services. They may charge you if you ask them to send your obituary to the Chronicle, okay? As a matter of fact, if you go to BayAreaObits.com, you'll see that the Bay Area News Group charges funeral homes a little less than would charge you personally to publish your obituary on their site. What else? So the Bay Area News Group includes the San Jose Mercury News, the San Mateo County Times, the Marin Independent Journal, the Santa Cruz Sentinel, Alameda Journal, the Montclarion, the Oakland Tribune, may it rest in peace, the Hayward Daily Review, and the Fremont Argus, and several weekly newspapers in Silicon Valley. And you can, of course, you know, publish it anywhere. If you have, if you live in San Francisco, but you, the deceased had friends and relatives in Oakland, you may want to publish it there as well. Okay? What else? I want to tell you a really good story.
Military service.
Thank you.
Wartime.
Very good. Military service, very important. Thank you. Norma Ray Flicker Brewer, a resident of Fairfield, Connecticut, passed away while climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. Read the death notice in the Connecticut Post. She never realized her life goal of reaching the summit, but made it to base camp. Her daughter, Donna, her dog, Mia, and her cats came along at the last minute. There is suspicion that Mrs. Brewer died from hypothermia after the dog, Mia, ate her warm winter boots and socks. The obituary didn't fool anybody. It just reminded people of Mrs. Brewer's fondness for pranks and her sense of humor. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've sent you all out a little sheet that if you are interested in getting my help in writing your obituary, happy to help you. And I'm honored to have shared this information with you. Is there anything you want? Any questions? Yes, Larry.
What did you say was the average? $900
in the Chronicle. Yeah. The San Jose Mercury News may charge more. Yes?
Some run one day and some go on for 3 or 4 days.
Yes, well, you're paying for that. Right. Yeah, you pay for it. Right. Yeah, okay.
I just wanted to mention about 3 years ago, I put an obituary in the Chronicle for my husband. It cost me $1,100. That included the photograph, and it was just one column.
One whole column?
One day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Another possibility for to whom you leave your obituary with would be the mortuary. If you've made prearrangements.
Yes. Thank
that
you.
That could also be a possibility that excellent. You could leave it there.
Excellent, excellent choice. Thank you.
Hi, I have two quick questions. Will the newspaper email you a draft of your obituary, and is the Contra Costa Times part of the Bay Area News Group?
No. Oh, and you brought me up another thing. They will not edit or send it back to you. This is an advertisement. You are expected to take care of it before you send it. Make sure that you know the deadline that the newspaper needs your copy for, okay?
Oh, one other thing I want to share. I volunteer at hospices and mm-hmm. hospitals and nursing homes. Mm-hmm. One lady I visited told me that in her obituary, she plans to write, "Been there, done that, time to go, that's all, folks."
Oh. That would be a very cheap obituary.
Yeah. She's 95 years old.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Famous people for notoriety. Yeah. They've got it already in the drawer, ready to publish it.
Well,
those
obituaries have been worked on by reporters who are getting paid to do that. Right. You're right. Is anybody here a star or a serial killer? No. You won't. That's it. Thank you so much. Yes. Yes. Where's my dog, by the way? Yes. He mentioned that you want to military service would be good to mention in your obituary. Is that the point? There you go. Good for you. Okay.
Before we close, I have a colorful story, which may or may not be true. And it comes from the Carlisle. When I was at the Carlisle as a manager, we had a couple there in the husband passed away, and the wife made her way down to the Chronicle to see about an obituary, and she went to the counter and said, "How much is an obituary?" And they said, $5 a word. So she wrote it on a scrap of paper and handed it to him, and it was two words, "Morris dies." And he says, "That'll be $25. She says, "Why so much?" And he says, "Well, there's a $25 minimum." She says, "Give it back to me." So she scratches it out, and she writes it out. She says, "Now, read it to me. I want to hear how it sounds. Morris dies. Buick for sale."
Thank you.
Well, let's thank our speaker, Francine Rivetti, for this excellent presentation. And now we'll conclude this meeting of this is the 114th year of enlightened discussion at the Commonwealth Club of California. Thank you.